At the end of Holy Mass today, I will read the exorcism from Title 11, Chapter 3, from the Rituale Romanum, as authorized by Bishop Haying. I will read this exorcism for the whole diocese. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, today we have this little question and answer session between the Lord and his disciples. He is going away, and they don't quite get what it is that's going on here yet. Now, we know that the Lord spent 40 days after his resurrection until his ascension. And just to review for a moment, 40 is an extremely important number in salvation history. We have, of course, times that you can think of probably right off the top of your head, about 40. In the 7th and 8th chapters of Genesis, we hear about how for 40 days and nights the flood waters covered the earth, and Noah survived, and at the end of which the flood waters receded, and they built an altar for worship at the end. It was a time of purification, a time of purification from sin, and a time of transition from one covenant to another. Then we have the famous 40 years in the desert, in the wilderness, that's recounted especially in the book of Exodus. It was, again, a time of purification. It was a time of testing and trial. It was a time for the Jews to learn how to worship properly. It was in that period that God told them how to worship, how to build the things needed for sacred worship in order to offer pleasing worship to the Lord. So it was a time of purification and trial and transition. Once again, we have another 40, the beginning of the Lord's public ministry. He goes out into the wilderness for 40 days. And he is not being purified because there's nothing in the Lord that needed to be purified. But it was nevertheless a time of temptation. It was a time of trial for him. And it was also a time of transition from one kind of life to the open public ministry that he was to undertake that would culminate in the saving victory of the cross. And so in this time before ascension, the 40 days after his resurrection, leading up to the ascension, we can imagine that this is also a time of purification and transition for his disciples. You might remember that immediately after the resurrection, there were a couple of episodes in which the Lord had to teach them how to start looking at him in a new way. For example, the disciples that were so demoralized after his crucifixion, and they were on the road to Emmaus, and the Lord met them out there, and they said, well, we had put our hope in him because he was a great prophet. Well, he was, of course, much more than a prophet, and that was a first mistake. But we had put so much hope in him. And then the Lord began to unfold for them the scriptures, teaching them all about how scripture had foreshadowed, had predicted him with various types and so forth, how I would love to have been in on that Bible study. And then finally, they got to where they were going to stay for the night. They begged him to stay, and they had a meal there, and that's when the Lord took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, obviously a Eucharistic sign, and they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. And then he immediately disappeared from their sight, teaching them that there is going to be a new way for you to encounter me. Not physically anymore, where you could reach out and touch me, or you can hear my physical voice, but you're going to encounter me now in a new way, in the breaking of the bread, in the Eucharist. After the resurrection, the Lord encountered Mary Magdalene, who had come to the tomb, and she tried to hold on to him. And he said, "Do not grasp on, do not hang on to me." Sometimes it said, the Latin, noli me tangere, is sometimes it's just don't touch me, but it's really the Greek verb that's used there, is don't hang on to me. In other words, don't hang on to me, don't continue to look at me in the way that I was before. And then he said to her, "I have not ascended to my Father." Well, everything is pointing towards his ascension. Well, why is this? Why do we have this period in between Easter and the ascension? What is he teaching them? He's teaching them in preparing them to see him in a new way, to encounter him in a new way, in a sacramental way. You know, we have the ability to sense things. You know, we can see the light here, we can smell the incense, you can hear the sound of my voice, and you can touch the things around you. And the sensory reality is very concrete for you. It's very real, in a sense, for you. But we have to remember that sacramental reality is not less real than the sensory and tangible reality that's around us. And we have to tune ourselves all through our Catholic lives in order to encounter God, encounter mystery through these sacramental realities which we celebrate. It's one of the reasons why our sacred liturgical worship is so much more than a bunch of people getting together and affirming each other as if it were kind of a club that everybody joins, that everybody can belong to and feel good about belonging to. It's so much more than that. These are sacred mysteries that we're celebrating. We are being brought into contact with a transforming mystery through these sacramental realities, no less real than the sensory signs and symbols and so forth that we use in order to help us understand the contact. So the Lord is about to go away. We are coming up to the time of the ascension, and so it's now time that we've been focused a lot on thinking about the resurrection. Let's turn our minds now for these days leading up to the ascension, Ascension Thursday, to try to understand what the impact is of the ascension. So very often when we think about the Paschal mystery, we think about the passion, death, and resurrection of the Lord. But the next step is the ascension of the Lord. Well, what happens when the ascension of the Lord takes place? He takes our humanity, which he has taken up into an indestructible bond with his divinity, out of this physical space and time into the glorious heavenly temple, where he, as high priest, continues to renew and offer the sacrifice to the Father. But now he is outside of time and space. He is not limited to being in a physical place like I am right now. He can be anywhere. He and is everywhere. He's in the other church up the road. He is on the other side of the earth. And he can be in all places at all times, which is one of the reasons why I can be saying Mass here while someone else, another priest, is saying Mass up the road. And he consecrates the host and the precious blood, and it's truly there at the same time as I consecrate the host and the precious blood, and the Lord is truly here. When we distribute Holy Communion, he's not just in one host, he's in every host. He's outside of time, outside of space now, offering the sacrifice in the heavenly temple, which makes it possible for us now to have an encounter with him, a Eucharistic, sacramental encounter with him in every host, in every particle, on every altar in the entire world, throughout time, until he comes again. This is one of the major impacts of the ascension of the Lord. And so now we begin to understand why he says, you're going to be sorry when I go. You think about sometimes I have, you know, maybe the image of a man who has been called up in the military to active duty again. He has to go, and a little boy, his son, says, please, Daddy, don't go. And he's very sorry that his father has to leave, and he doesn't have the perspective that, you know, his father will return. You know, please God, his father will return one day. But he's very sorry in that moment. The Lord uses the image of the sorrow that a woman has when she a pregnant woman has when she enters into labor, and then but the sorrow disappears at the return of the soldier from war. It disappears at the appearance of the birth of the child into the world. And then there is joy, far greater joy than there was before. It is partly the absence and the sorrow which makes the great with the joy even that much sweeter. In the case of the Lord, we have now an opportunity to experience the Lord in a way that wasn't possible even for the disciples who were walking around with him every single day. Before that, they could hear his voice. They often didn't understand what he was talking about. Or they could see what he was doing, and they didn't understand what he was doing. And they could talk to him and question him and so forth. But now we can receive him sacramentally in our soul. When we receive Holy Communion, our bodies become tabernacles, just like there is on this altar here, which is only possible because of the ascension of the Lord. So let us turn our minds now to the great things that come to us through the sacramental life of the church, which is made possible by the Lord's passion, death, resurrection, and ascension. And may God bless you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.